time to talk history with our historian, our house historian, Grant Morris from Victoria University of Wellington School of Law. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Good. Who would have been our last Wellington, I'm going to say Wellingtonian Prime Minister? We'll include include Chris Hipkins as a Wellingtonian, Greater Wellington, for this this question. So who would it have been, in your view?
Yeah, good question. I mean, some people consider Bill English a Wellingtonian, though, of course, he was very much, you know, I think Seth would say he was from the down south, deep south, even though he lived in Wellington for a long time. I'd go with Jack Marshall, so 1972. We'll mention him today. Takes over from Keith Holyoake just briefly, and he was very much Wellingtonian, MP for Karori, born in Wellington.
Okay.
So, yeah, he'd be the...
Not Norm Kirk, someone suggesting that maybe he was from Wellington.
His background's Christchurch.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, we are talking politics today, and you've also had a look at this midterm change in leadership from Jacinda Ardern to Chris Hipkins, and it went very smoothly for a change, I'll say.
Yes. So I think, you know, some commentators and might have been some of the politicians themselves were saying that it was possibly the smoothest transition ever, or at least one of the smoothest transitions ever. And that got me thinking about, well, what have been the other transitions, midterm transitions that we've had in New Zealand, and how would they rate on the smoothness test spectrum?
Where do we begin?
Well, I think we've just a quick definition. So we're talking about where there's been a change of prime minister during the term. Could be for a number of reasons, could be a coup, could be a death, it could be, you know, just a resignation for whatever reason. So we're not talking about losing in an election and someone taking over, it's that midterm transition. And I thought we'd take it from round about middle of the 20th century, because it gets a bit mucky further back, because they're changing all the time in the 19th century.
And so you begin in 1940.
Yeah, I thought we'd begin with the Michael Joseph Savage change to Peter Fraser in 1940, because this is the one that Chris Hipkins will probably want to keep reminding himself of, because this was the only example we've got where the new prime minister after the transition went on to win the next election. In this case, Peter Fraser went on to win two more elections, 1943 and 1946. So in this case, of course, Michael Joseph Savage dies of cancer, even though he had it for some time. Peter Fraser takes over. It's during World War II, very successful wartime leader. And that transition, well, I mean, it has to happen, but it ends in success for Fraser and for the Labour Party.
Yeah. Mark Richardson, who I was speaking to last night, was telling me that actually Bill English won the 2017 election, so probably qualifies. Not sure how you feel about that.
I've got a asterisk next to that one in terms of category, because, yeah, he did indeed, you know, and I've heard that argument, he did indeed get the most votes, so I don't know if you're going to win an election if you don't end up being Prime Minister.
Maybe not, okay. But then there are the hospital passes, right?
Yeah, so I think there's a few you could categorise as hospital passes, where someone basically just hands it over just before the election and it ends in disaster, or at least unsuccessfully. And the first one, and there's a good reason for this one, was where Sydney Holland passes the leadership of the National Party over to Keith Holyoake 87 days before the election. And Holland's health is failing at this stage, so yeah, he has to do it. He has to transfer the power, and it didn't give Holyoake enough time to establish himself in the role. National had been in power for some time as well, and National indeed lost that election to Walter Nash in 1957. Although Holyoake would win the next one in 1916.
Okay, where to after that?
And then we've got the one that Chris Hipkins won't want to be thinking too much about, even though I'm sure he knows it well, and that's the end of the Fourth Labour government. So I think most of your listeners will be well aware of this one, where David Longy resigned in 1989, his deputy Geoffrey Palmer stepped up, had enough time to establish himself, but for various reasons, Mike Moore took over just before the election, 60 days before the election in 1990, and you know, the National Party won a resounding victory in that election. And I think that the signs had been clear that was going to happen sometime before. So, you know, that was a double transition in the opposite of a smooth transition.
He had a couple of good debates, as I recall, Mike Moore. I remember them packing out the Labor supporters hijacked that debate in Te Kuiti, as I recall.
Right.
And it was a really rowdy one, yeah.
I do remember that.
Okay. Any other contenders for smooth transitions?
Yeah, so this is where I think if we say, and there's no doubt that the transition from Jacinda Ardern to Chris Hipkins was very smooth. And so, well, what ones do we have that could rival that? And I would argue that the 1972 transition, so this is Holyoake, he's been in power for 12 years, and he's going to hand it over to his deputy and his friend, Jack Marshall, that's the Wellingtonian we talked about before. And he wanted to give Marshall enough time to establish himself before the 1972 election, because Holyoake remembered how difficult it had been when he got the hospital pass from Holland. So, he wanted to do that, but he was up against Norman Kirk at his height, and Marshall lost the 1972 election to Norman Kirk. So even if you've got enough time to establish yourself, it won't guarantee that a smooth transition will end in success. And probably the one we've heard the most about in terms of comparison over the last week is where John Key handed over to Bill English. And again, very smooth and giving the new person enough time. And in that case, it ended, to begin with, fairly successfully with National outpolling Labor in the election, in the 2017 election. But of course, Bill English was unable to reach an agreement with New Zealand First, and Labor under Jacinda Ardern came to power.
Yeah. So what about that, or what about the transition that should have been successful but failed?
So the one I put in this category, so this is our third category, is where Bill Rowling took over the leadership of Labor when Norman Kirk died in 1974. So Norman Kirk, very popular Prime Minister. He'd been leader of the Labor Party for some time, but very popular Prime Minister. Labor had only been in power for 2 years, and it had strong momentum in its social policies, but there were real dark clouds on the horizon in terms of economic turmoil. That said, there was a strong argument to say that Rowling should have won that election. And, there was an expectation that that might happen, but Rob Muldoon ran a pretty smart campaign, and National won. That election campaign's featured in lots of historical debates. But Rowling loses that. So, you can see the trend here. And the other one we haven't mentioned is Jim Bolger to Jenny Shipley. There's that changeover in 1998. And so the only one really that was successful, we really have to go back and look at 1940. So I suppose the signs aren't great for Labor at this stage if we look at history, but, there are always exceptions to history.
Great. Grant, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thanks, Jesse.
It's Dr. Grant Morris, historian at the Victoria University School of Law.